prepare for a truth revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth revolution.
And it's truth revolution. Welcome. We contend that faith and reason can coexist together, so this is where faith meets reason. I'm Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff.
Hey, I'm glad you're here today. We are talking about the other side today. We are talking about the moment you die.
Whoa. It's kinda scary,
hey,
actually.
You don't need to be scared. Today, we're bringing it to the factual arena, okay?
Okay.
We're bringing this to reality. We're going to study what the Bible says happens to us the moment we die.
So do you think that it's possible to actually allay those fears? Do you think we will allay some people's fears today as far as what's going to happen the moment you die?
I think some people's fears will be allayed.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about the other side.
Yeah, there's a whole other side. The question is, what happens right when you die? I mean, right when you die, do you go to heaven? Are you waiting? Do you go to sleep?
Cross over with John Edwards?
No.
No.
What happens? I was at a funeral with my godson.
Uh-huh.
He was only probably 5 years old at this time.
Right.
And the pastor was up front speaking, and there's a lot of people in the funeral home. And we were kind of back in a corner. This other pastor was speaking, and my godson was trying to see the pastor. He couldn't see who was speaking. There was a wall in the way. He couldn't.
Oh, no.
And he's looking back and forth. He's trying to look, and he turned around with an urgency in his voice, and he says, "Who is that talking? Is that Jesus?"
No.
No, sorry, it's not Jesus. But really, lots of times, Jesus and death. I mean, it's mysterious.
Right.
We feel like there's a wall there. We can't really see past it.
Mm-hmm. It's the veil.
It is. It's a veil. But pretty soon, it won't be a veil because we all die.
Right.
I mean, every single one of us. And we don't want to dwell on death today. We want to dwell on what happens right after death. We're going to be reading from a story that Jesus talked about. Okay. Now, normally on this show, we're talking about evidence for the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We prove the Bible is true. We prove religion or Christianity specifically is a reasonable belief that Jesus rose from the dead. And we use archaeology, science, history, mathematics, all sorts of stuff. Today, we're going to do just a little bit different. We're going to say, assuming that the Bible is correct and all the other things that we've talked about is really true, assuming that, what is the case? And we're going to look at this story that Jesus told about a guy who died and went to the other side.
So you're saying we've already proven the Bible correct.
Bingo!
So let's go ahead and take this story
from the Bible.
Since it's truth.
Yes, and so we're going to see what happens right after we die.
Okay.
And this is Luke chapter 16, if you're interested.
Mm-hmm.
You can pop up your Bible, follow along there. In Luke chapter 16, let's just draw out some general principles. Will you do that with me?
Sure.
All right. Verse 25 says this. Well, actually, let me just go ahead and read a lot of the verses to you.
Okay.
Because you get the story.
Yeah, just go ahead and read it.
All right. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. Sounds like you, Dave.
Lived in luxury every day.
At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table.
Uh-huh.
Even the dogs licked his sores. Sounds like me.
Right.
The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried.
Wait a minute.
What?
See where you're going with
this.
The rich man.
You were the rich man.
That's a setup.
Well, in hell, where the rich man was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, and Lazarus was by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he's comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm that's been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment."
Mm-hmm.
Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to him." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, don't let me be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Okay, so now it's time to draw out the general principles of this story. Because believe it or not, there's a whole lot of detail in there about what the afterlife was actually like.
Right.
And assuming that Jesus would give analogies with a reasonable degree of accuracy, we can draw conclusions to what the afterlife is like or what happens the moment you die.
Okay.
And now we're not saying that every little tiny detail is exactly how it's going to be. What we're going to do is we're going to draw out some general principles. And so we know what to expect. So you can know what to expect after you die. All right, and the first general principle is this. Listen to verse 25. Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he's comforted here and you are in agony." Okay, Dave, after we die, some of us will be comforted and some of us will be in agony.
Right.
That's the first general principle we have to know. It's not exactly a happy one, unless you're one of the people that's being comforted, but some people will be comforted, some people will be in agony. That's just a... And this isn't a hellfire and brimstone thing. This is just a reality thing.
Right, and it's something that actually, I mean, everybody or every Christian has been taught as they're growing up.
That's right.
So long as they were not taught in the newfangled churches where it's like, oh, everybody's going to be
Yeah, you got guys like Rob Bell saying, oh, hell's not really hell. Hell is just like, it's just like a, I mean, everyone's going to end up in heaven. You don't really have bad things. But no, Jesus says right here, there's some people are in agony, some people are comforted. Mm-hmm. All right, verse 26 said, "Besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed. We can't go from there to here, or we can't go from here to there."
There's no switching sides after the fact.
Right. After we die, we must understand, first and foremost, our places are fixed. We cannot cross over to the other side. That's just... And look, and I'm not claiming to have all the answers about what happened after you die, because believe it or not, I have not died yet. And
I can attest to that.
Yeah, I really haven't. And so I don't know everything, but I'm telling you, this is at least... I can tell you what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. And this is what Jesus said. Your place is fixed. Once you die, it's done. I mean, you can't go, well, you know, I really should have done this. And you know what? Well, now that I see everything, I believe.
Right.
You can't do that. It's fixed. There's a chasm there. I want you to note, and this is really interesting about this concept of hell. The rich man who went to hell and was being tormented, he didn't argue that his punishment was unjust.
Right.
Nowhere in there is he like, hey, this is unfair.
I want a second shot.
No, he was just, wow, okay. Yeah. He asked that someone maybe help his brothers who were alive, but he knew this is just. Look at verse 24 and 27. 24 says, he called him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I'm in agony in this fire." Verse 27, he said, "Well, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers." Okay. Apparently, people being punished still have the wrong perspective about other people.
Okay.
Now, this is just really interesting to me. After you die, it doesn't automatically mean that you understand everything and that you see everything the right way, at least not for the people in agony, because Lazarus was the beggar and he was the rich guy. He goes to hell and Lazarus goes to heaven. And what does he say? He says, hey, send that beggar to give me some water while I'm in hell.
Gotcha.
He's still treating Lazarus as the servant.
Mm-hmm.
And so he still has the wrong perspective about how people should live. And then verse 27, he's like, okay, well, if you're not going to help me, at least send Lazarus to go help my brothers. He's still thinking of Lazarus as the servant.
Errand boy.
So you have these people who end up being tormented and their thoughts aren't corrected. They don't see things the right way still. All right, let's jump to the Old Testament of the Bible really quick.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about the different places that people go. Okay, the word most commonly used for the afterlife in the Old Testament is Sheol.
Mm-hmm.
It occurs 65 times, okay? Sometimes it's grave, sometimes it's pit. You could translate it hell. 31 times the Bible translates it hell. Some people say, well, it doesn't mean hell, it just means grave. There is no hell. Well, the Hebrew word kever is literally grave, okay? Sheol likely stands for much more than just a grave. It's the region of departed spirits. Sometimes translators don't even translate it nowadays. They just, in Genesis 37, for instance, it says, surely I'll go down to Sheol in mourning. So,
of a place.
It's just the name of a place. Right. That's where I'm going to go. Psalm 89, what man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his soul from the power of Sheol? And the answer is no. I mean, everybody's going to die, and people are going to go to Sheol. In the Old Testament, when you died, so before Christ, everyone went to Sheol after their death.
All right. But as in what the way Jesus described it, there was a chasm there.
Now, we're hold on. We're going to get there.
Right.
But we're talking about right before Jesus, everybody went to Sheol. So I want you to remember this, Sheol, okay? Erwin Lutzer says, what seems clear is that the writers of the Old Testament believed that to go to Sheol was not only to go to the grave, but also to experience a conscious afterlife. Okay? So you go to this Sheol place. You're still awake. You're still conscious of what's happening. Isaiah 14 says, Sheol from beneath is excited over you to meet you when you come. It arouses for you the spirits of the dead and the leaders of the earth. It raises all the kings of the nations from their thrones. They will all respond and say to you, even you have been made weak as we. You have become like us. Okay, so
that's kind of scary, actually.
It is kind of scary. Talking to Abraham, it says, you, however, Abraham, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. So according to some verses, even though it sounded scary, according to some verses, Sheol can be a peaceful place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, but Deuteronomy 32 says, a fire is kindled in my anger and burned to the lowest part of Sheol. Note, the lowest part of Sheol receives the anger. So according to the other verses, Sheol can receive God's anger too.
Oh.
It's a peaceful place and it's an angry place. What's going on here? Well, basically there's two different parts of Sheol. One held followers of God and one held people who didn't follow God. Daniel 12 says, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. No, some people come from Sheol will have life. Others will have contempt. All right, Luke 16, Lazarus and the rich man were separated. If you look at verse 26, remember it says that there was a great chasm mm-hmm. between them. So they were separated, but they were in Sheol. All right, now, the place in Sheol where the bad people went, so to speak, the unrighteous people, people who didn't follow God, was called Hades. All right, what's going on here?
So Hades was in Sheol.
Yes.
Okay.
Verse 23 doesn't say the guy was in hell. So this is not hell. Luke 16:23, the verse 23 says hell is actually the Greek word Hades.
Okay.
So Hades is different than hell. The word for hell is really the Greek word Gehenna. Okay. So in Sheol, where everybody goes after they die, you if you're bad, or if you don't believe in God, you go to Hades. Now, if you are a righteous person, if you are a believer in God, and you go to Sheol, you would go to the other part of Sheol, which is called Abraham's bosom.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, okay, you knew that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought, but I didn't want to speak up for fear of
being wrong. Yeah, I mean, it's verse 22 says, the time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side.
Okay.
Okay, so the place where the righteous went in Sheol is called paradise, Abraham's bosom, or Abraham's side is how it's known. Also, if you look at Luke 23, one of the criminals who hung on the tree hurled insults at Jesus. They were both being crucified. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you're under the same sentence. We're punished justly for getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in?
Paradise.
Paradise, that's right.
In Sheol.
In Sheol, in the paradise
that's
part
like
of
an
Sheol.
That's like an address.
It is, like, I live on South Street, Sheol, Paradise, or actually Paradise, Sheol.
Oh, yeah.
So, now, that's the Old Testament, mm-hmm. right? Before Jesus rose from the dead, everybody went to Sheol, the grave. And they would go to paradise, or they would go to Hades. Depending on who they were, whether they believed in God or not.
Okay.
All right. Now, we're about halfway through here. We're going to go to the New Testament, but I want everyone to understand this. There is a very, very clear distinction
right.
between the people who go to paradise and the people who go to Hades.
Right.
It's not ambiguous why one goes to another. It's not unclear. It's very absolutely clear. People who put their faith in Jesus go to paradise. People often ask this question, you know, well, okay, so you say I have to believe in Jesus to go to heaven. But what did people do before Jesus?
Right, beforehand, yeah.
Well, and the answer to that is they trusted in Jesus. They believed what God was going to do for them.
Right.
We believe what God already did.
Right. They put their faith in the promises that
That's
were to
right.
come.
That's right. See, I think people that were living on earth before Jesus came, mm-hmm. they were probably asking the opposite question. They were saying, okay, well, I trust that the Messiah is going to come and save me, but what about the people who come after the Messiah?
Right.
They're just screwed, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, they were probably asking the opposite question. We put our faith in what Jesus has done. They put their faith in what Jesus was going to do and what God was going to do. And so that's the whole point. And if you put your faith in what God was going to do back then, when you went to Sheol, when you went to the realm of the dead, you would be in paradise. and you would not be in Hades. Between Hades and Paradise was a great chasm that was fixed. Now, when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about the New Testament. What happens to us right now, people, when we die? So, because it's a little different for us now than it was before Jesus lived. So, we'll see you on the other side of the break. We're talking about the New Testament. Hey, check us out online, truthrevolution.tv.
Truth Revolution.
And welcome back to Truth Revolution. And we are talking about the moment you die.
Death.
Death, yes.
Where do you go? What happens to your spirit?
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be all scary and stuff.
Nope.
But for some people, it might be.
Hey, check us out, truthrevolution.tv.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of you have been donating, helping the
That's
show.
Great.
And we're going to be able to stay on the air for at least a couple more months now. So
right.
Thanks to all of you.
Yes.
So
huge
if you're,
thank you.
If you're interested in donating, like many others have been doing, go over to our website, truthrevolution.tv, and you can donate there via PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can use your bank or your credit card or whatever on that. What's
right.
the website?
We got video. We got some video.
Yeah.
We got
lots of shows.
Yeah, we got lots of shows
all sorts
from the
of
past.
Stuff.
So.
It's a cool website. So anyway, check us out, truthrevolution.tv. But right now we're talking, this is where faith meets reason, and we are talking about what happens the moment you die. We already talked about the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, before Jesus Christ came, everybody went to Sheol when they died. And depending on whether or not you had faith in God, you either went to Hades or you went to paradise.
Right.
Now, in the New Testament, all that was Old Testament, right? But now Jesus has come, and the rules have changed because Jesus died and rose from the dead. The rules now go like this. Sheol is still the abode for the dead, except now it's all one place, and only the unrighteous people go there.
Okay.
Only the people who don't believe in God, all right, or don't trust God and follow him as a king. All right, Erwin Lutzer put this, he said this, Hades, as far as we know, now has only one region, and that is where unbelievers enter. I believe it is still an abode for departed spirits, a temporary intermediate state where those who have not received God's forgiveness must wait until further notice. In other words, they're not in hell yet.
Right.
When someone who doesn't believe in God dies, they do not go to hell immediately. They go to Sheol.
Now, why is that? Is that because are they waiting for the final judgment?
Yeah, they're awaiting judgment from God because God hasn't done the judgment yet.
Right.
And when God does the judgment, then people will go to hell. 2 Peter 2 says, the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and how to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. So this Hades place or this Sheol place is still punishment and it's still a holding place for the unrighteous, but it's not hell. That is not where people go when they die right now. So someone tells you, oh, well, so-and-so is probably in hell. Well, they're wrong. I mean, you can say, no, that's not what the Bible teaches. People don't go to hell right now when they die.
That's pretty close, though. You know what you got to look forward to.
Yeah, well,
it's
not exactly a nice place. I mean, but God holds people in Hades while they wait for judgment.
Right.
So, you know, this whole Bible contradiction thing we do every now and then, what do you think about that, Dave?
I like doing Bible contradictions.
Probably a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Why don't we do a Bible contradiction?
Bible contradiction.
All right. Well, today's Bible contradiction discusses our direct line to God.
I was waiting for it.
Okay. Where does it come from? Okay. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
Romans 8:26, however, says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So, Spirit intercedes, but Jesus is the only mediator.
Right. Is there a distinct difference between those two?
Well, in Romans 8:26, is the Holy Spirit our mediator or is Christ? Yeah, Christ is the mediator. The Holy Spirit is just an intercessor. Those are two different things,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
Christ alone died for our sins. You know, Hebrews 1 talks about that. He's the one who made reconciliation with God possible. He is the one who made it so that God's anger wouldn't come upon us. He is the one mediator, okay? The Holy Spirit did not die for our sins. The Holy Spirit prays to the Father on our behalf. But it's based on the redeeming work of Jesus.
Right.
So Jesus has died, which has given us an in with God and rose from the dead, and the Holy Spirit uses that in.
Okay.
So Jesus is the mediator, but the Holy Spirit just kind of intercedes and talks to God on our behalf. He's not mediating anything.
Right. Mediating mean kind of like a negotiating. Like yes. God is, or Jesus is negotiating our salvation to God, whereas the Spirit basically gives prayers to God on our behalf.
Yeah, that's right. When Jesus was mediating, there was something that had to be paid,
mm-hmm.
and he was mediating what is going to be paid.
Okay.
And the price was his life. And so Jesus died. He mediated that price. He's the only mediator that we have, period. And because he's the mediator, then the Holy Spirit can go ahead and say, well, Jesus already mediated this. The gates are open. We can go in. And so the Holy Spirit goes in and prays on our behalf. And that's actually the answer for our Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
You know, it was actually a lot more simpler than it sounded at first.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Keep those contradictions coming. If you got a contradiction, go ahead and send it to us. Get on the website, truthrevolution.tv, and hey, see if you can stump Jeff here. You know? I'd like to see that.
I don't doubt that somebody could. Uh-huh. I mean, do we know everything?
No, we don't.
We don't.
But we know enough to say, I don't know that, and go and try and find an answer.
Yeah, that's true. We don't want to say we know everything, but there are some definite good answers mm-hmm. out there.
There's nothing wrong with searching.
No, there's not. And actually, that's what we're doing today. You know, we don't know everything about what happens after you die. Just plain and simple, we don't. Nobody does.
Right.
Except Jesus. I mean, he knew.
Mm-hmm. And he gave us an account.
And he told us what happens.
Right.
So, that's what we're doing today. We're listening to Jesus. We're listening to the Bible, which we've proven true. And we're going through there and saying, okay, so what is this? What happens after we die? So far, we've found out that if you lived before Jesus and you died, you went to Sheol.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were a believer in God, you went to
paradise.
And if you were not a believer in God, you went to
Hades. Hades, yeah.
You're
springing these things on me, man. I didn't expect a quiz.
And then
quiz at the end of the show, Dave.
Then Jesus came. And if you are not a believer in Jesus, if you're not a follower of Jesus, and you die, if God has not extended his grace to you, you go to Sheol.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not hell.
Right.
So anyone who dies right now does not go to hell.
Right. And that's the way it is now.
That's the way it is right now. Mm-hmm. So Hades and Sheol would be the same thing right now. Okay. Hades and Sheol are the same thing. And Hades will be sent to hell. Okay.
So paradise moved out, didn't leave a forwarding address, and Hades just kind of took over the place.
Look,
you got all this space over here. Why are we using that?
Sounds like someone who deserves to go to hell.
Right.
No, okay, look, that's Revelation 20 says, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire.
Right.
And that's a lot of metaphorical language there. We don't want to read too much into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what is clear there is that it's saying that whoever's being held in Hades, the people who do not believe in Jesus, they will be thrown into hell at some point, the lake of fire. Hades is not the same thing as hell, but those in Hades will go to hell someday.
Okay.
So if you die and you find yourself not in paradise, but you're not in hell, you still have to worry.
Right.
I mean, you're not safe.
Like a boot camp before you actually get into the service.
It is like boot camp before you're sent to war.
That's very close.
Boot camp is not fun, but war is even worse.
Right.
And that's like hell, or that's like Hades and hell. All right, so what about the righteous people? I mean, the people who believe.
Right.
2 Corinthians, what's going to happen to us? 2 Corinthians says this. Therefore, we're always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord.
Aha, there's a key.
All right, no longer do followers of God, that's Christians, wait in Sheol, but they go straight to heaven.
Do not pass go.
The side of God. We go home with the Lord. Now, heaven, Abraham's bosom, paradise, that's all the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's the same thing. All right, Jesus paid the price on the cross and rose from the dead. So there's no more waiting.
Right.
I mean, we don't have to wait for a judgment because we're not going to experience that judgment. At least we're not going to be punished in that judgment because we have been invited into heaven to God's side.
And Jesus already experienced that punishment for us.
On the cross,
mm-hmm.
he did. Absolutely. There are some people who would say that Jesus went to hell, but that is not accurate.
No.
It's something that creeped in. I don't even know exactly when it creeped in.
Well, it doesn't even say that in the Bible anywhere.
No, it doesn't. There's one verse where it says in Ephesians 4, I'm looking it up right now, in Ephesians 4, it says, what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? And people take that to mean, well, okay, Jesus ascended to heaven. What does that mean? Other than he also descended to the lower earthly regions, and they take that to mean hell, that Jesus had to go to hell. But this is not true. If let's just picture this, okay? Let's picture you're standing on earth.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean that he ascended? Now picture yourself ascending up to heaven.
Right.
Other than he also descended, now picture yourself descending down,
uh-huh.
and then you're on earth again to the lower earthly regions. So that's it. It just means that Jesus, when he went to heaven, it's just proof that he was on earth at some point.
Right.
So that's all it's saying. Okay, anyway, back to where we go. We go to heaven if we are followers of Jesus. 2 Peter 3 says, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So, just like Hades isn't the final place for the people who will be punished,
right.
heaven isn't the final place for us.
Right.
Right. The final resting place of the righteous will be on the new earth. And this is so cool, because a lot of people are like freaking out, oh, heaven, I don't even want to go to heaven. It's going to be boring, man. I don't know how to play the harp. Seriously.
You better learn.
And so, they don't want to go to heaven. But this is not, heaven is not floating on clouds and playing a harp, okay?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, heaven is not a location. It is a relationship with God. You are with God in a relationship with him. When we have location, we will have flesh again. God will put us on the new earth. It's going to be this same earth. That word new is actually renewed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people misunderstand that. The Bible says that when you believe in God, you are a new creation.
Person, yeah. mm-hmm.
That same Greek word really means renewed. It doesn't mean that he obliterated every cell in your body and remade you.
Right.
It means that he's renewed you. If God had to completely wipe you away totally and bring a new Dave here, he would have lost, you know, because he couldn't redeem you.
Right.
If he has to wipe away the universe and make a new universe, that means he loses. He doesn't. He redeems it. He fixes it. And that's what he does with the earth. So the same earth you walk on right now, we're going to walk on for eternity, dude.
Right on.
It's so cool. I mean, you have these favorite trails that you walk on.
Right. Well, there's places I want to go, things I want to do, and places I want to see.
And God is going, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's going to be a lot of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
But God's going to renew the earth, and we can walk on this same earth. We are going to have grass and land and probably buildings. There is going to be grass that we can walk on, uh-huh. man. You could reach down and touch it.
Right.
You're a physical being. You have actual hands and skin and flesh. So anyway.
And
just,
feet.
And feet. And just remember this. We are either going to heaven right now.
Uh-huh.
Or we're going to Hades right now. Nobody's going to hell, but everyone who believes is going to heaven.
Right.
That's something you can bank on.
And that's only a waiting point.
That's only a waiting point.
Mm-hmm.
Not purgatory, but a waiting point.
Right.
All right. Check us out online, truthrevolution.tv. Thank you so much for listening today. Thank you to all of you who are supporters. This is supported by people who care about this ministry. I hope you learned something today about where we go after we die. You can look forward to heaven if you believe in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Hit us up on the website, truthrevolution.tv.
See us at Revolution Church.
Come see us at Revolution Church. We're starting in just a little bit, 10:15 a.m.
Uh-huh.
We're right across from Ace Hardware on South Street. We'd love to have you. It's a relaxed atmosphere. Wear whatever you're wearing right now. Have a great week. God bless.